children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep.
Hello and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And before we get into tonight's program, let me just mention my favorite skin nutrition, Hydram A. And if you haven't tried that yet, please do. It's all organic, all natural, actual skin nutrition that you put on like a lotion. And it leaves your skin really soft and non-greasy. So if you haven't tried that, please do try that. You can find more products at hydrame.com, hydrame.com. And tonight, I have got to let you guys know first that the reason there was not a big blurb about tonight's guest is because we have some really important stuff to talk about. And I like to kind of not give a lot of warning sometimes, you know. So you have heard her before if you're a regular listener. I have tonight's guest as Christine Breeze. She is wonderful, and she is the founder and CEO of the University of Metaphysical Sciences. So welcome to the show, Christine.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah. And you got some exciting stuff going on. But first, before we go into that and go into tonight's discussion, if you would just give a little bio about yourself and what you're doing and you know, where you're moving to and what's going on with all that, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty stuff that probably nobody wants to hear but really needs to. So
ignorance isn't bliss, so it's always good to know. It's better to know and be able to take action than not to.
Exactly.
Well, my name is Christine Breeze, and I'm the founder of University of Metaphysical Sciences, and we have an online store, or an online school that sells, we also have a store that sells meditation CDs, and we have a degree program for a bachelor's, master's, or a doctorate degree in metaphysics, metaphysical subjects, and holistic counseling, metaphysical counseling, all sorts of things. And students can create their own courses of their own pace. Sorry about that. I'm closing this door because a big airplane's going by. I wanted to cut down on the sound on that. Students can create their own pace of study. It's all distance learning, so people can study in Timbuktu if that's where they are. Mm-hmm. And we do everything through internet downloads or postal courses. And we have really low monthly payment plans so that it's affordable for everyone. So that's it in a nutshell.
That's awesome, and I really would encourage anybody out there that wants to really, you know, develop their spiritual side, this might be something that you would want to pursue. And Christine is wonderful and intuitive and all these great things, and so she can really help you. And it's not just a book study course. It really is a course in how to utilize, you know, the different skills that you come into this life with.
And well, it's really important that included with the book study parts of it is that the students get the experiential aspects. So they get about 70 meditations to try out all the different techniques that they're learning about and see what works for them. And students report profound life changes after doing the meditations, and they discover so much through that.
Exactly, and that's really what it's all about, you know, the discovery of self. And so I very much applaud your work, and I know that you're expanding into another region. So would you like to talk about that a bit too?
Sure. Spanish is the second most largest spoken say that 10 times really fast. Spanish is the second largest spoken language in the world. And we've had so many emails and phone calls from people saying, oh, if only your courses were in Spanish, I could do this. I would really like to do it. So we looked into translating into Spanish, and it's very, very expensive to do it here in the States. Mm-hmm. So we're going to open a branch in Ecuador and have a translation team there, a Spanish translation team, and we are going to run a version of the school from there, too. Since it's cheaper to operate there, we'll be able to offer it for a lower price in Spanish to people in South America and Central America. If people wanted to study at the University of Metaphysical Sciences in the United States, it would still be the prices that it is in the United States, whether it's in Spanish or English. But we're feeling really passionate about the people in the world who don't have a lot of money. And the courses literally would need to be a far less price, like a quarter of the price, in order for people in South America or Mexico or places like that to be able to do this. And there's a huge awakening in South America and Mexico as well. There's a wildfire of consciousness arising everywhere in the world. So we feel that getting things translated into other languages is really important now. And we want to make it available to everyone.
Well, you know, I think that's really, it's so important, especially given, you know, things that I had been kind of led to in the last 24 or 48 hours. And I just would like to mention this briefly before we go on. I received some information and was pointed to look at a website of someone who is quite well-respected that said, don't follow the Fire the Grid meditation because the evil cabal is planning on using it against us, and they harness all that energy at one time to bring
their
plan about.
What grid meditation?
The Fire the Grid.
Oh, I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah, they had that last year, and they had it again today, 3:19 Pacific time. And so my response to that was, hey, you know, people are falling into this victim mode of, oh, no, you know, now we can't meditate and we can't pray because they're going to use it against us. And I looked at that, and I said, you know what? They have been using the quantum physics or prayer, the laws of quantum physics against us for a long time, and now we're starting to find out about it. So my comment about...
We're just discovering how to use them, so it's our turn to participate.
Right, and so my point in this whole thing was, why would you choose to be in fear? Why wouldn't you instead say, you know what, the truth is that even if I am the only one who stands against this, who stands in my true full essence and says, oh, I don't think so, Bubba. You know, we're going to take that energy back and make sure it goes into the grid. And, you know, one person, one consciousness that does that is more than enough to defeat all of the evil in creation. And that's something that they don't want you to know. And so I found myself, you know, doing the meditation, but not doing the one that they suggested, and instead really standing guard. And I saw some real interesting things going on with the grid. And basically what we did was we trapped the bad guys in the grid and basically just shot them with love, which, of course, they hate. So,
yeah.
So I was going, yeah, well, now, you know, you can turn the tables on the bad guys. But if you don't know anything about this and you buy into all the fear and everything else, then it creates, you know, further problem. It becomes, you know, kind of like the yoke around your neck because they're guiding you with fears. And so this is why I think it's real important what you're doing because, you know, yes, it is the second largest spoken language in the world, Spanish, but also the people that are Spanish-speaking have a natural proclivity for a lot of things that we here in America try to ignore.
Right. They're more centered with the emotional connections, the social connections, the family. There's a legend in South America about the condor and the eagle. When the eagle and the condor fly together, there will be world peace. The eagle being the United States, which is the planner, the thinker, the strategizer, the mind kind of person. And the condor is the feeling, the sensing, the compassionate connection to the earth kind of feeling. And when those two energies come together, that's when there can actually be a synergy that creates the compassionate earth. And so that's why South Americans are so welcoming to North Americans right now, because they see this as a manifestation, as there's literally a mass exodus going on right now from Europe and the United States. There's many, many people who are going to places like South America or certain other places. I don't know where everybody's going. Everybody's kind of shifting around to wherever their inner voice is telling them to go. So they're welcoming to the North Americans and Europeans because they have some idea of what's going on as far as the energies of humanity needing to level out and come back into balance. The the indigenous population down there has been working on us for a long time. They've known about the white man needing to get with the program for quite a while, and so they've been working at an energy level with North America themselves, and in a loving way, without the hatred, because they know that we're not our government, and that many of us are, you know, feeling oppressed by our own government. And they know that the people are not the culprits, that it's that somehow these crazy people got in charge of everything. And and we're just as much a pawn in their game as South America is. Now, South America actually has a very awakening energy, because a lot of their leaders have decided that they want nothing to do with the IMF or the World Bank anymore.
Good for them.
They will not take a loan from them anymore, and they're creating their own Bank of the South, which is sort of their version of the IMF and the World Bank, but a more fair version, one that doesn't charge 25% interest on a $2 billion loan to build dams and infrastructure and lay, you know, cable wires in their cities so they can have internet, which is what the IMF and the World Bank does. They basically give you a loan that you can never actually pay back. That's the plan. It's designed that way on purpose. And in the small print, it says basically if you can't pay back the loan the way that it's lined out here, we can come in and take your resources for pennies on the dollar, basically.
Right, that's how North America has been.
Yeah, pretty much we can rape and pillage your land, and you can't do anything about it. So South America, many of the leaders are starting to really wake up to this and say, no more. And in many ways, they're standing up to this imperialism that's been going on, and taking matters into their own hands. Now, Chavez, you know, he's beating his chest and saying, you know, let's fight, come get me if you dare, and stuff like that. Whereas the other ones are being a little more low-key and subtle. For instance, the president of Ecuador, someone said to him in a news interview, well, the United States must not be very happy with you right now that you're throwing the oil companies out of the Amazon headwaters now because they've damaged it, and the indigenous people are suing them for $27 million and want for the cleanup that it's going to take. And the president said, oh, really? I didn't know they didn't like me. They're always nice to me on the phone whenever I talk to them. And he knows what's going on, you know. He's positioning his country so that it's not going to be harmed when these times come. And the other thing, too, is Ecuador is in a special position for the food shortage that's going to come in the future, because food just grows everywhere all year long. So we're kind of liking that that's the place that we're picking as our as our branch for the South American and Central American outreach. We'll still have our United States things going on, and we'll still have our offices here, and we'll still have United States presence, but we're also just going to have that too. And then if things get really crazy, then I guess that's where we'll be hanging out, in South America till it settles down.
That makes sense to me. And,
yeah.
You know, talk about things getting crazy. Listeners, one of the reasons why I didn't write a lot of stuff on the show info today is because there's a situation that's happening with the swine flu vaccine, and I've asked Christine to come on and talk about that because she's more knowledgeable about what's going on behind the scenes there. She's kept up with it, and there are some truly, truly horrifying things. So before she gets into that and explaining, the various things that have happened recently, I would like to put my two cents worth in there and say, do not, under any circumstances, allow yourself to be vaccinated with that. And pretty much any vaccine right now is very suspect. They're vaccinating a lot of healthcare workers, and they are getting horrible diseases like MS and rheumatoid arthritis, and horrible stuff that's taking them right out of the pool of people that would be there to help people that are ill. And you may understand that a little bit better after we get done with this conversation tonight. But so without further ado, let's launch into that. Christine, would you give us a synopsis of what's going on with that?
Well, the swine flu is an invented disease. It was created in a lab, and many believe that Bacterium International is the one that created it. There's been documentation that there are memos to the White House and things like that, or to various departments in the government, saying that they were literally working on a bioterrorism disease. Mm-hmm. And other things about creating vaccines that can be utilized in bioterrorism as well. So they've been working on that since, I believe, the 80s. I forgot all the dates and stuff. I don't memorize all that stuff. But the swine flu first emerged in 1976, and there were a lot of commercials on TV encouraging people to go out and get the vaccine because this terrible swine flu was going to happen, and people rushed out and got this swine flu vaccine. And there were so few deaths. It was less than 100, and yet thousands of people went and got this vaccine, and some of them got very ill, and certain military people had to take it, and they were forced to take it.
Right.
And they ended up with Guillain-Barré disease, they ended up paralyzed, they ended up having all these things. And somehow these vaccine companies were rendered immune. They weren't responsible for any of the injuries or deaths. Some people even died from these vaccines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of like that was a practice run, and now they're doing it again. Only this time it was meant to be on a much larger scale. And so now there's all this fear-mongering, and as you know, the Illuminati and those guys all own all the public media, like Fox News and MSN and CNN and all this stuff. And the New York Times and all these papers. And there's just all this fear-mongering and the magazines and the newspapers saying, swine flu coming, what are you going to do? You better go get the vaccine. And they're coming up with a salvation for you, this vaccine. And by doing this is a purposeful manipulation of people's consciousness, which is something that they've grown very good at over the past 100 years,
mm-hmm.
that they've been learning how to do for a long time. And so at this point, there's many people who would rush out and get the vaccine thinking that this was going to help them. However, there's several parts to this equation. First, the vaccine disables the immune system, mm-hmm. but mostly because there's heavy metals in the vaccine, like mercury and some other parts of the vaccine that are really unhealthy for you. There's some very toxic things that are in chemicals in these vaccines. For instance, children who are vaccinated with the normal childhood vaccinations, 1 out of 10 children nowadays gets autism from these vaccines. Mm-hmm. And other complications happen that are not part of the 1 out of 10. So there's 3 out of 10 children affected in some way by these vaccines because the heavy metals and the toxins are just too much for a child's body to take.
Right.
And so these vaccines, even no matter which one they are, they have these heavy metals in them, which are preservatives of sorts. And there are other ways to have preservatives, but the heavy metals are the cheaper way to do it, and they're also the way to actually harm your health.
Mm-hmm.
So don't think that they're actually trying to save people with these vaccines. They're trying to disable your immune system. And then there's a talk about this swine flu being part of a recombination bacteria situation, which is where the first bacteria introduced into your body is, which could be part of these vaccines. They may be putting in a certain bacteria, not just the dead swine flu particle that's supposed to be there in order to create the immunity to the swine flu, but then there's this bacteria that is supposedly being delivered as well that is harmless by itself. But once it's recombined with another particular bacteria or another part of the bacteria, then it becomes deadly, and there is no cure for that. It's called a recombination bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
That's one possibility that people have been speaking about and suspect that is part of these vaccines, because say you take the vaccine and people dropping dead right after the vaccine would just be too obvious. However, if maybe 6 months later they spray with the chemtrails or something the other part of the bacteria, then there you go. Lots of people could drop dead and they could say, oh, well, sorry, I guess it's not effective against the swine flu. The swine flu is mutated.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings me to another point, is that many people are saying, look, the swine flu is mutating so fast that any vaccine that you produce for it today it's going to be useless in a few months because the swine flu will have mutated and this vaccine is no protection whatsoever.
Well, that's normal with any flu. That's
right.
The influenza virus, that's the way it is.
They have
that's
to reinvent it every
just,
year.
Yeah, it's useless to get a vaccine for the flu.
Right,
I mean,
because the flu changes every year.
Right, and what it'll actually do is it'll hit your immune system so hard when you get the vaccine that you have more of a chance of catching anything that comes along.
Right. I've never taken one of those flu vaccines because the way I see it is that catching the flu once a year is actually really healthy for you because it's like a virus. You know how your computer has to do virus updates and it does your virus protection program has to get some updates. It gets new information. And so when you get the flu every year, you get new information, and your immune system adjusts, and it prepares more antibodies that can, the T cells and all that sort of stuff that the immune system does, then it's able to fight a different flu because it's been presented with a new version of it. And so, therefore, your body has literally updated its virus program.
Well, that would be nice if that worked that way. But actually, the body has no defense against viruses. And so now that brings up another point. People go running off to the doctor to get antibiotics when they have a viral infection. And what they do is they hit their immune system even harder because an antibiotic is antibacterial. Not antiviral. And the antivirals usually come in an IV bag, not in a shot. And you know, it's quite expensive. If you look at AIDS treatment, you know, there are several different things on there, protease inhibitors and things like that, that are antiviral. However, when you're talking about the regular flu, basically the best thing you can do is drink plenty of fluids and make sure you get enough sleep and, you know, and go to bed. Because actually most of the symptoms that you get from the virus are not actually the virus. It's not the toxins for the virus. The virus is going to go away in anywhere from a week to 2 weeks anyway. Viruses are self-limiting. The problem with something like the swine flu or anything else that's really virulent is that it hits you so hard and so fast that if you are weakened, it will kill you if you don't get some kind of support. And even then, sometimes it will. But the problem is not the virus. The problem is the body's attempt to mount a defense against it when the body has no defense against viruses.
Right.
So then what you're actually dealing with, is you're dealing with an interferon reaction, which takes a couple days. So that's why, you know, you don't like breathe it in and then like 2 hours later you've got it. No,
yeah,
you breathe it in
and incubate.
It has to incubate. Well, then it takes the body a couple days to really mount the defense. The problem is that it drives the body so crazy trying to kill this virus off. Meanwhile, it's replicating like crazy. And so your body's going, oh my God, we're going to die, and it starts throwing interferon out and all this other stuff. It starts throwing out chemicals that are meant to kill off bacteria, and they will kill bacteria, but not viruses. And so then you've got this huge reaction in your body that is toxic because of the toxic chemicals that are being loosed to kill things that aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
And the body just goes haywire, and so you get like filled up. It's like having a huge allergic reaction. And it hurts. And so when you get the aches and the pains of the flu, that's the interferon. Now, one of the things, like when you give an antiviral, or, you know, if somebody has hepatitis, you give them interferon. And we used to always tell people, okay, it's probably going to hurt really bad the first couple of times because your body's going to try to do something. This is to, you know, up your own interferon levels and everything else. But the problem is that it's going to create such a response that you are going to hurt. Your fever's going to go up. You're going to ache in every joint. You're going to feel like crap and take some Tylenol. You know, and that's what they tell you. That's what they told us to tell the patient.
Actually, that's what you shouldn't do, because the fever is actually part of the thing that helps
right.
kill whatever is going on. I actually
right.
let myself have the fever. I just let myself suffer through it, because it's actually over faster if you
right.
don't try to suppress the body's reaction.
Exactly. But there's nothing...
you need that fever in order
yes.
to bring the body's temperature up so that the virus or bacteria can't actually reproduce. That's why the body does the fever. So the fever is actually the best thing for you.
Yeah, and that's... it's interesting, too. There's... a molecular microbiologist that's a friend of mine, and we had a talk about that, and he said, the swine flu is coming. You need to build a microwave cabinet. I said, I don't know how to do any of that stuff. He said, I'm telling you, you need to build a microwave cabinet, because you have to get people's bodies heated up to enough that it's going to kill off the virus, and it's heat that does it.
So how do you do that? What's a microwave cabinet?
Well, what he suggested is that you take just a metal cabinet, you know, like from Home Depot, and you get the magnetometers from two microwave ovens, and you stick them in there. And I don't know how the plans go or anything like that, but I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that are technical that could put that together. And basically,
that sounds a little dangerous.
Well, you know, that's
I wonder
what
if
I thought.
Maybe just a sauna or a steam room could even help.
Sure. Sure. Anything that's going to, you have to raise the temperature quick. And
sauna will get your temperature up there pretty quick. I mean, sit in one of those 200-degree rooms and just see how comfy it is.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, you can do that out in the Arizona desert here too. But
just sit in a hut in the sun, huh?
Yep, that's all it takes. Sit in the car, that'll do it. Sit in the car in the sun, and there you go.
Yeah,
and drink lots of water.
You do that here in Grass Valley too.
Yeah, so the heat is really the secret. Now,
right.
The other thing is, you and I had exchanged a few emails about, you know. I, of course, I'm into the botanicals and all that kind of stuff. So when I got hit with the swine flu, And I've had it twice. I had it in the original 1976 or 74 or whatever it was. And I was sick for like a month and a half. Everybody was really ill. There are records showing that the Army released that. And they released it on purpose into train stations and bus stations and things like that because they wanted to see what would happen. And there were 4% of the population died from that. And they did that on purpose. So if you think the government is here to help you people, think again. And I'm telling you, if you still think the government's here to help you or that Big Pharma is here to help you, you seriously are in need of some help. And I would suggest you don't go to them because they'll kill you off. But basically, when I got it this last time, I tried everything against it. I had colloidal silver and minerals and you know, vitamin C and my magic flu juice, which normally, if you take it as soon as you start to get a tickle, it'll knock it out. You'll never get the flu. Well, it didn't stop it. And so I added to it some Chinese herbs called cold snap that usually knock all that stuff out too. That didn't stop it. And at that point, I was going, oh my God, because that is not normal. That's not normal
right.
at all. And so then I was thinking about it. I laid down to sleep on the night that I was really ill. And I only had it for about 5 days, but most people were sick for 3 months with that one, with his last release. Anyway, so I went to bed, and I could not lay down. I could not sleep, and I was exhausted. Now, this is one of the things that happens. When you get something that's like that, you cannot sleep. The danger with that is that if you can't sleep, you can't heal. And I don't mean just that you go unconscious. I mean you have to go deep. You have to go into deep delta, and you have to swing the pendulum from the fight or flight into the sympathetic region of restorative sleep. Most people can never get there. So there's certain things you can do to get there, like, you know, go back and forth between hot and cold, like, you know, jacuzzi or sauna or steam room. You know, back over to like ice pool and back and forth. Not everybody can do that or has that available. The other thing that you can do that I found worked for me is that I sat in the zero point energy field, and there's several ways to get that. You know, I use the quantum vortex. You can do it with the pictures that I take during that too. There's lots of things you can do, but I put on one of the CDs that I sell on my myreallifecoach.com website. And it's the one that's meditation. It's got like 8 hours. It has isochronic tones and binaural beats. And on their 8-hour meditation one, it has it's got alpha, beta, theta, and delta. The one that I used was very, very deep delta. I put that on, and I sat there in the zero-point energy, and first I prayed. And I asked for the beings in the other dimensions and the other levels to help me. And I was in there for like 2 hours. And I put the CD on repeat just on the very, very deep delta. So what I did was I came in and out of theta and deep delta for 2 hours or so. By the time that 2 hours was done, I was able to go to sleep. And this is why I'm telling you people about it right now. You need heat. High heat, you got to get your temperature up to about 106, you know, 106.8 around there, which is dangerous if you don't know what you're doing, so be careful. You have to be hydrated, you know, you can't do this with children. They can't take the high temperatures. But you have to get yourself into that sleep mode. And so there's other safer ways to do this. You can put like a half a handful of ginger powder and cayenne pepper into a really hot bath and sit in there for as long as you can stand it, usually 20 minutes, and then rinse it off. If you don't rinse it, you'll be cussing me out. And then you wrap yourself up tight in a sheet with a wool blanket or two over you. And you stay in there until the fever breaks. So there's a lot of different ways that you can pull your temperature up. But I'll tell you, when I discovered that none of the stuff that I have at my disposal worked, and the only thing that helped me was to go into very, very deep delta, I said, all right, now we have another way that this works. Now, there are other people that have things available like, you know, Terminators, Zappers, you know, things like that that are supposed to work against viruses. I would say test it out. Make sure it's working. If you haven't used it to get rid of a virus, then you better you better think about other ways too. So
well, there's ways to build your nutrition. There's things that they say are supposed to actually make you immune to it altogether. One thing that you can that I'm hearing a lot about is vitamin D3. Mm-hmm. That you actually could keep from even getting it if you have your immune system really strong. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage people to really study how to have a strong immune system.
Absolutely.
And D3 is one. A lot of antioxidants. There's so many different kinds. Vitamin C is a way to keep your immune system up. Resveratrol is a way to strengthen your system and make your body literally younger, and so that it has a stronger immune system. Exercise absolutely increases. So if you're sedentary, definitely need to start exercising. And the other thing, too, that they found is that in people who have obesity, they actually have the hardest time surviving the swine flu. Most of the people who died actually had obesity issues. So so I would definitely say to people, if you have a weight issue, you might want to start addressing that now and not put it on the back burner anymore. And even if you can't lose all the weight, at least if you've been exercising for a couple of months, you've kicked in what's called the triple burner, what the Chinese medicine call the triple burner, the third burner. Mm-hmm. And that's supposed to be the thing that actually kicks in your metabolism so that even when you're at rest, you burn more calories. So if your body is actually working hotter, because exercise does make your body operate hotter even at times of rest, then you're already in a better position. The other thing is if you can't just get the D3, then just sit in the sunlight just a little bit every day. That's all it takes. You could sit out there in the morning if it's too hot in the afternoon. Sit out there in the evening while the sun is setting. The last hour of sunlight and the first hour of sunlight are perfectly fine as long as you get the sunlight on your skin. You have to get it on your skin. You can't just sit out there in your shirt. You have to have it on your skin.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets you the vitamin D3. There's a particular version of vitamin D3. It's not just D3 that you buy in the supermarket.
Yeah, it's the dry D3.
Okay. And there's like a D3, 1, 2, and 3 or something like that. There's three different versions of it, and you have to get all of them. Sunlight
right, so you get
delivers
the complex.
All of them.
Yeah, most of the time when you buy the dry D3, it has all together.
Right.
It's kind of like when you buy a, you know, B vitamin complex, you get all of them together.
Right. So you have to make sure you're not buying like B3 in an oil. Is that what you're saying? Or
right. You're supposed to get the dry D3. Right. For that particular
one, that's like in a capsule instead of the oil.
Yeah, it's usually a tablet. Small tablet.
Okay.
And it's pretty inexpensive, you know, so it's something that people can do for themselves. And actually, they're finding that a lot of the problems people have now with physical things is due to a D3 deficiency.
Yeah. Yeah. And a mineral deficiency altogether.
Mm-hmm.
I've started increasing my mineral intake all of the minerals. And I'm far better now than I was. I mean, I was having fatigue, and I was like, why is this? I'm not, you know, I mean, gosh, I shouldn't be having fatigue. And
yeah, but you had that big accident, and it's, you know, things have been changed since then.
I guess I had something to do with it.
Yeah, you were on the other side and, you know, had to decide that you were going to come back and, you know.
Yeah, I was lucky to survive that. It was,
yeah.
Being a passenger in the back seat of a Jeep that flipped twice is not exactly a joyride.
That might have had something to do with it, Christine.
well, still, I was mineral deficient even before that, though. I was having what's called restless leg syndrome, mm-hmm. even before that accident. And once I started taking the minerals, all of them, first I started taking calcium, magnesium, and D, and that made a difference. But then once I started taking all of them, it really made the difference. And
yeah, you have to have them in balance.
Yeah. So
I know that's the main thing. If people don't have the minerals, they can't make what the immune system needs.
Right, and they're saying that a lot of diseases, cancers too, are due to mineral deficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple. It's very simple to fix.
It is. It's very simple.
So I would do that. Now, the other thing about swine flu that they've discovered is that the older people seem to be immune. And that's because they've had so many different kinds of flu, their bodies actually know how to deal with it better than people who are under 30 and 25 or something like that.
Well, you know what they did with the swine flu? They first of all, they went to Alaska and they dug up some bodies that they knew for sure had died of the swine flu. This was on Oprah. I think it was a couple of years ago. They had a doctor on there. I was horrified when I heard this because I knew they were going to weaponize it as soon as I heard that. So they got the genetic code. They got the whole thing. They figured it out. Then they started playing with it. One of the things that was really remarkable about the swine flu, the normal flu will kill the very young and the very old or the immunocompromised.
Right.
The swine flu doesn't. It goes for the healthy adults in the middle age, like from about 20 to about 40 is where it kills most of its victims.
Right, which is very interesting because those are the people who are most likely to be able to do something about what's going on, huh?
Uh-huh. Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the government and the pharmaceutical companies are there to help you, people. I hope you're all happy with the help you're getting.
Well, here's the thing about the pharmaceutical companies. Baxter International shipped swine flu vaccines to
mm-hmm.
Czechoslovakia,
mm-hmm.
and 16%, this is 16 out of every 100 of them, actually had a live version of the swine flu. Instead of the dead version of the swine flu that a vaccine
mm-hmm.
is supposed to carry, these ones carried the live version. So 16 out of 100 people would have actually caught the swine flu from the vaccine in
mm-hmm.
Czechoslovakia. So very interestingly, also Baxter International also shipped 71 kilos of a substance to, I believe it was Austria, and all of it was contaminated with swine flu and other contaminants and labeled as something else. So, and they
must have been an accident.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Yeah, it must have just been an accident. Mm-hmm.
Well, it wasn't an accident, and every ferret that they administered the stuff to in their tests, which was what they were supposed to be doing with this stuff, every single one died. Every single one. And so if they had administered this to people, a pandemic would have been started either in Czechoslovakia or in Austria, wherever they were shipping all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, lo and behold, finally someone was brave enough, and I wish I even thought of it, but Jane Burgermeister, this brave, brave soul, decided to launch a lawsuit against Baxter International and two other companies. I forgot what their names are, but they're also high-level pharmaceutical companies that are in with the elite, and even sit on the board of the WHO, and so they can vote for themselves to have these contracts for producing the vaccine, interestingly enough,
mm-hmm.
and get paid very well for it. She decided to sue them for an attempt to create a pandemic, purposefully and meaningfully, because these companies are entrusted with particularly volatile substances that
mm-hmm.
are categorized literally as bioterrorist compounds. So they could not have done this by accident, because things like that are supposed to be handled with such care and such documentation that there is no way you can accidentally ship a bioterrorist's compound, 71 kilos of it, to someone to use on their people.
Yeah, and that's the other reason for this. You know, some people are wondering, well, why would they do that? And if you realize that Obama already has the plan in place for forced vaccinations, and, you know, as soon as things start to get a little wonky and enough people start to die, which, by the way, would be over 100 people in a year, when the normal flu kills about 3,000 in a year at least.
Actually, 36,000.
36,000.
Normal flu kills 36,000 people in a year. And this swine flu has killed less than 300 so far, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so there
are... It qualifies as a pandemic.
Exactly. So what they're doing is they're shipping all this stuff, and as soon as they can, they will institute martial law and then start with the forced vaccinations. At that point, what they're doing is they are going to be giving you a lethal injection that is going to take a long time to work, maybe months. And they've already done...
Maybe a year.
Yeah, maybe a year.
Maybe they'll give you a year.
But you need to realize it's...
release disease.
It is. It's a time-to-release disease. The first wave is already done. That's why you don't see a lot of chemtrails anymore. They chemtrailed the hell out of everybody.
I was wondering about that. They put the bacteria, the first bacteria is in the air. Now the vaccine is the second recombination bacteria.
Right, and then the third thing.
The third, right.
Yeah, and what I've heard is that the third thing actually is coming through the TV. That's why HDTV came into being. And things like that, it's an electrical trigger into your nervous system. So when that happens...
Well, HARP can do that, too.
Yes,
so
HARP can do that, too.
It's not just TV they could do that with.
Right, they're going to leave no stone unturned. So now, what I'd like you guys to consider, and I am not, you know, we're not discussing this to scare the crap out of you, but just so that you start to understand what's really going on. And I would say that one of the most important things that you can do is, first of all, know that this is going on and avoid getting vaccinated. That's what you can do, okay? If it comes down to...
That's what you have to do.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to. When it comes down to... And do everything you can in your communities to get this kind of stuff out to the attention of the people that can do something about it. Grassroots stuff, you know.
Just so people know... They can actually object to vaccines as long as the laws are in order before martial law happens, which makes all laws go out the window. People can actually sign waivers for their children at the school. They don't tell you about this at the school, but on the back of the enrollment form or something. I was asking one of my staff members how she handled it with her children, because she's done this every year ever since her children were born. And, you know, one's graduated now and one is still in high school, but... She's never had her kids vaccinated, and she does it through religious objection. You can actually have a religious objection to vaccination, and so we'll see how that stands up to mandatory vaccinations, but it may or may not be...
It doesn't. It does not.
Well,
martial law comes in, no.
Yeah, but before martial law happens, even if they make it mandatory, but martial law has not happened yet, then you still have the laws that you can use.
Right.
Bill Deagle has a team of lawyers who's trying to find all, has downloaded every state's laws and is trying to find all the loopholes and clauses in all the laws so that they can file injunctions in every state against the mandatory vaccine, also in Canada, because Canada has the same program. And also, just so you know, this Jane Burgermeister, she not only sued Baxter and the other companies that are producing the vaccines, she also launched a lawsuit against the UN and the WHO and President Obama and the Rothschilds and some other high profilers who are part of the Bilderberg Group and some others. She, brave soul that she is, filed a lawsuit, filed charges with the FBI against them for attempted mass murder genocide through these mandatory vaccines.
Yes, so, she did, and she got fired also from her job.
Yeah, she got fired the day after. And but that doesn't matter because she's going to receive a lot of support. A lot. There's a place online where you can look up her name and you can donate to her legal defense fund because this is going to be a very big and spendy thing. The other thing is, too, is that we need to hold a space for her safety because they do psychic wax, they do the whole thing, they try to make you have a car accident, they try to make you die in a plane crash, they try to make your life come unraveled, and they may even approach her and say, look, hey, we'll give you $200 million if you'll just drop this thing. So we need to hold space around her to protect her and to see her efforts come to fruition. And not get thwarted. So, because she has just thrown a big monkey wrench into the plans of the dark forces. So, we'll see how it goes, but it's not, she said that that was the, finally the only way that she could get this out from the, behind the closed doors because all this pandemic stuff and these vaccines have been planned through the, behind the scenes. And yet no one knows about this. And they're reading these newspapers saying, go out and get the vaccine. It'll take care of you. And the, she, so she said, gosh, the only way I can finally get this public is by making a lawsuit. And notice you still haven't seen it on Fox News and you still haven't seen it on MSN. You still haven't seen it on CNN and all that. But it's out there now and it's all over the blogosphere. Thank God for the internet, however long that lasts.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's up to us people to hang together and to help each other on these things because if you think it can't happen to you, I'm here to tell you it can, and if you don't do something and stand up against this kind of crap, it will happen. And
well,
so it's
lots
very...
of people won't take it.
Yeah. Well, I keep telling people all the time that ask me, you know, should I vaccinate? And I tell them, absolutely not. I don't vaccinate me. I don't vaccinate my pets. I was one of the ones when I worked in the ER, I got stuck with a dirty needle after they tried to stick a guy that was homeless and ended up having hepatitis B. And they gave me the hepatitis B vaccine, which was new and was live. And so, oh yeah, that was great, you know.
Yeah, just what you
now
needed.
They don't give that one because you always, you know, you always test positive for Hep B after that. I was like, oh great, you know. So the question is, did I actually get it? Who knows? Now I just heard from somebody this weekend who was telling me that his wife is a healthcare worker, and they had to take mandatory vaccinations already in preparation for the swine flu. And one of the vaccinations that she got promptly gave her MS. Now it's going further. It's affecting her hands and her feet. She's very, very ill. And basically she's waiting to see how long she's going to live. It's that bad. And she's not the only one. There's quite a few healthcare workers that are in the same boat. And it's kind of like, you know, when the guys went over to Iraq and the Desert Storm thing, hundreds of thousands of our top people who were the most fit and the most mentally healthy were felled by the disease that they got from all the injections and everything. And the and they did a double whammy on them. You know, they fed them diet sodas that had aspartame to set out in the sun, which should never, ever, ever do. They gave them all these vaccinations, all like so many, I think it was like between 30 and 60 vaccinations all in the space of a week. Then on top of that, they sprayed insecticide all over the place, and they found the combination of those three things gave these people Gulf War syndrome, and there's no cure. And they've been dying in droves from this stuff, and they have horrible, horrible illnesses and disabilities going on before they die. So I guess they decided that that was such a great success that now they're working, you know, further on the swine flu and just planning on killing off as many of the people in their prime as they possibly can. Now, we've already had the chemtrails. The next thing is the forced vaccination with the swine flu. And then the third one, that's the death whammy. So what I'm saying is, you know, refuse to be vaccinated starts in grassroots things in your cities and towns, and go up against these politicians and tell them absolutely not, hell no, we will not take these things. This is murder, because it is. And
well,
I can tell.
Go ahead. Sorry about that. I was going to say, if they're smart, they'll not make it mandatory, and they'll just say, hey, everybody who wants one, come get one. You get one for free. There'd be so many people who would run out and get it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if they're smart, that's what they're going to do. I think they're starting to realize that might be the better way to go, because they've done enough fear-mongering for a few months that there's a huge amount of the population that's ready to just run out and get it, no problem.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'll tell you, there's healthcare workers that believe that, too. I get in arguments with them all the time. They think they know what they're talking about. They're idiots.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, the wool is so far pulled over their eyes, they have no idea. And, I mean, all that you have to do is know a little bit about microbiology, and you can see what these people are doing.
Well, and even if only one-tenth of all of this is true, like some people say, well, how do you know it's all true? I mean, and I say, well, look, even if one-tenth of it is true, it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
Absolutely. And so, you know, I guess it's time for everybody just to, you know, determine where they are as far as, you know, their convictions and what they want out of their life. If they want to lay down and have their life taken away from them and pay, you know, the guys at the top, you're giving them all your money to be able to do this, by the way.
Oh, yeah, we're paying them to kill us.
Yeah. Every time you
money.
Pay taxes, you know, every single time you pay a tax, guess where it goes? It's all about taking more of your money and killing you. And
something
so,
really, go ahead.
It's okay. It's just so horrible. Now, of course, let me say that I would never suggest to people that they should not pay their taxes, which, by the way, are completely illegal and
right.
and against the Constitution of the United States.
Don't attract attention to yourself.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, basically, it's like, you know, you can't advise people not to do this. What I'm saying is, it's time everybody got mad as hell and said, I'm not going to take it anymore, as they said in the movie, you know. Stand up for your rights. Stand up for yourself. Because if you don't, those people that we voted in, and it's our own fault, you know, we were complacent. We voted these people in. We allowed people to combine and merge and do all these things and make billions and billions of dollars on our misery. And now we have to pay the piper. You know, so it's time for people to, you know, you better get up and do something now, because if you don't, it's going to be too late.
Right.
And, you know, you think Nazi Germany was bad? Oh, my God, you have no idea how bad this could get. And so if you value your way of life, if you value having life, then it's time that you got smart about what's going on here and do something, do whatever you can. And I'm not saying everybody has to go and grab the torch and, you know, go to the county hall. You know, that's not going to do anything to get the riot police called out against you.
I was going to say, you have to be careful with getting any kind of violent things going on or any kind of situation where you can get carted away for any reason, because
right.
they're just waiting for an excuse to use those FEMA camps.
Yeah. So what you do instead is you just inform people and you just have everybody say, no, I refuse to participate.
Yeah. A passive resistance. And
yeah.
I actually call this, in a way, the most effective way to do this revolution is a quiet revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Where we use, these are the secret weapons they don't want you to know about. We have consciousness and we have our hearts. And
mm-hmm.
those two things are the most powerful Jedi tools
mm-hmm.
that anyone can use. And you use your consciousness. See, they've been using their consciousness for a long time. The Masons and some of the secret societies have utilized the metaphysical laws of the universe to their advantage for quite a while, because they know about the law of attraction. They know about
sure.
the law of intention. They know about the laws of cause and effect, and they've been using those purposefully, consciously, and with intention. So, and the masses have only just started learning about this because that information has been kept hidden from them purposefully. But because it's an innate property, part of mankind, humankind, that's why it's reemerged, even though they tried to suppress it. Thank God they underestimated the power of meditation and the power of light and love movements. Mm-hmm. Thank God they underestimated that. Now they're kind of like, oh, geez, what are we going to do about all these spiritual organizations teaching people how to use their secret powers now? And so the most powerful way to influence reality is from what I call the pre-matter energy planes, mm-hmm. because it's far easier to manifest changes or to undo changes that you don't want to see. It's far easier to do that from the place where things haven't manifested yet. So here's one of the things that we're doing is I'm going to be putting 25 free meditations on my website by the end of the summer, where basically these are all the Jedi mind tricks that you can use to undo the efforts of the dark forces. And these are meditations that I'm giving away to everyone in the world for free. Download them, use them in your groups, duplicate them, make copies of them, make CDs so that if the internet goes down, you still got them. And you'll be able to get this on www.christinebriese.com, Christine with a C-H, R-I-S-T-I-N-E, Briese, B-R-E-E-S-E, all one word, .com, or come to our University of Metaphysical Sciences, and you can look up my name and find me that way, too. And these meditations are things like visualizing disorientation and miscommunication and confusion in the dark forces, all these people who are working together to coordinate things, to actually see them actually having missed connections and things, having things not work out, having technology fail or not work right, like, for instance, HARP, for instance, mm-hmm. To see their... We have infiltrators in the dark forces also. There are many people who are very responsive. One day I did a meditation where I sat down and just sent love out of my heart to all those who are serving dark forces and all the secret societies, all the politics, all the governments, all the banking stuff, wherever they were. And, of course, there are millions of them around the world at different levels. The thing is not all of them even know what they're serving because not everyone's told the big picture. They're just told the part they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And they don't actually even know that they're serving an evil purpose. But what I was surprised at was that many of them were like, get that love stuff away from me. I don't, because I was connecting with each of their hearts that were receptive to an awakened heart, that they wanted to become an awakened heart, mm-hmm. to see which hearts were receptive to awakening within themselves and becoming a source of love instead of where they were at right now, mm-hmm. which was a closed heart or even a sleeping heart or unconscious. And there were so many that were responsive. I was really surprised because a lot of the people serving the dark forces right now actually feel stuck. As soon as they find out what they're really serving, they realize they can't leave without dire circumstances to themselves and their families, possibly mm-hmm. even death, especially if they're deep in, mm-hmm. especially if they're working with high technologies or working with secret parts of the government's projects and things. So they realize they cannot leave. For instance, if you're part of the Masons and you're high up there in the 30s or whatever, in the 33rd, if you're in the 30 degree or above, you can't leave without dire circumstances. And you actually swore to your own death if you were to leave the order. So a lot of them are afraid to leave because they don't want anything to happen to themselves or family, or they have their little pass to the underground bunkers, and that's the only way they see themselves or their family being able to survive. So they're stuck in a rock and a hard place. They don't know how else to survive if they're not in those underground bunkers, or if they're not aligned with these people, or if they leave, they would be killed or harmed or lose all their money or be completely unraveled somehow.
Yeah.
So a lot of them have to stay. They have to stay where they are if they want to actually even stay alive, some of them, or stay solvent. So these are the people who at the 11th hour, if we support them in their hearts and we let them know that we still support them and don't judge them for being there, these are the people who are going to, you know, dismantle the technology at the 11th hour because they just simply cannot do these crimes against humanity or help others to do them. These are the people who at the 11th hour are going to literally pull the plug on HARP technology. These are the people at the 11th hour who are going to make it so that a cure for the swine flu is actually released. There's so many different ways that they can serve. So these meditations that I'm putting out there are ways to work with the energy planes level, because the consciousness that we have, if we got millions of people around the world visualizing the hearts and all of these ones awakening and they simply cannot do what they're doing anymore, or if they can't get with the program, they literally move into a different dimension because they actually don't match the frequencies of the masses. Because here's the rule. What the mass consciousness wants, the mass consciousness gets. And if the mass consciousness is in fear or despair or any of the negative pole energies, then you're actually helping the dark forces get what they want.
Exactly.
If you're in the positive frequencies, the space of realizing yourself as eternal consciousness, so even if you get killed, you can't actually be harmed because you're an eternal being just visiting this experience of being human, then you can live in a state of no fear no matter what happens. So being out of fear is absolutely imperative. Fearlessness in this paradigm shift is the most important ingredient, because fear is the juice for the dark engine.
Mm-hmm.
Without fear, they actually have no power. And by giving them the fear, they have the power. Or even giving despair or depression is another version of fear. So
yeah.
You're not out of it just because you're not feeling fear. It's if you're feeling depression, you're also feeling fear. Basically, that's fear that's gone dormant, sort of, or fear that's gone, you know, stagnant. And you can take the energy of fear and transform that back into raw creating material of the universe and use it differently. Another meditation is just visualizing that there are no deaths. There does not have to be a mass death situation to create this paradigm shift on this earth. This earth can support 3, maybe even 4 times the amount of population on the earth. If all the resources were used wisely, if we used them cleanly, if we shared all the knowledge with everyone else about how to grow food, how to clean, have hygiene in your water systems, how to generate energy cleanly, if these were all shared compassionately with other nations and other people, then this place could add, the earth is so abundant. I mean, look around you in the country. There's like one person every 100 acres for certain areas. And then there's cities where people like being in the cities, and those are fully capable of being run cleanly, run efficiently, and run abundantly. Right now, it's a wasteful system. It's a system of polluting and a system of not taking care of the earth while we use it. And this is an abundant machine. This biomachinery that the earth is not something that we're using correctly. So that's really the issue. It's not the population of the planet that needs to happen. It's education of the planet that needs, of humanity that needs to happen. And, you know, maybe if we just limit it to at least maybe one or two kids for, you know, a few years or maybe a generation, then then there wouldn't be this population explosion of 25 billion by the year 2050 or whatever they're saying. So it's education that is necessary and responsibility that needs to be taken. If that happens, this planet can support all these people. It's a myth that there's too many people on this planet. It's only 30% occupied.
Right, but the reason that they're saying that there's too many people is because the Illuminati are starting to get really worried that we rise up against them. Right, that's exactly it. That's why they're
pushing stuff. There's only 1% of them and 99% of us.
Mm-hmm.
That is why they need to change the odds, because we're starting to realize we have a secret weapon, which is consciousness. We can say, you know what? We want something different. And what the mass consciousness wants, the mass consciousness gets. And they know that. And they're starting to realize that we're starting to figure that out.
And they're starting to realize that people are not the little scared sheep that they thought they were. Because there's enough people waking up now and going, oh, hell no. You know, I'm going to stay through essence. I know I can't really die anyway. And you know, if you can't blackmail somebody, if you can't, because they don't really care what anybody thinks about them, if you can't get them down by taking away all of their money and their place that they live and everything else, because they're spiritually based and they go, oh well, and they just continue on somewhere else. If you can't even imprison them because they know that they don't actually live in this body in the first place and they go off into their mind, then, you know, what have you got against them? You know, you have nothing that you can manipulate them with. And I think that many more people on the planet are waking up to that now and going, all right, I'm done with this game. We will not allow atrocities to happen.
Well, in a way, the Illuminati are creating that situation themselves, because they're making people get to the point where they have nothing. There's nothing to look forward to. There's nothing they have anymore. They've already lost everything. So what's there to lose now?
Right, but that's exactly why the swine flu came out. That's why they were so frantic to get it weaponized, because they want to kill off the majority of people so that they don't have armies coming against them. And you know, if there's less people that you have to worry about, then you can control them, you know, doing the mind control thing, then, you know, you got nothing to worry about. But right now, they're worried that before they can get all those things into place, we're all going to wake up and come after them.
Right.
And the
reason they want the mandatory versus the voluntary one, where people, oh, anybody who wants one, come get it. The reason they want the mandatory version is because it's the people who know not to take it that they want to get.
Right, exactly. That's exactly it. So the best thing that...
The voluntary ones are still the sheep.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, I hope that this has helped you listeners, and feel free to spread it around and let people know what's really going on. Please be aware of what's happening in the world, because whether you pay attention to it or not, you are a part of it, and you're just as responsible as everyone else. So ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is not an excuse. You know, we're at that point now where we need to take responsibility for who we are and for our part in this game. So I very much appreciate you coming on and talking about this with me, Christine, and gosh, you know, I mean, I wish you guys the best in Ecuador, and who knows, maybe a bunch of us will go down there too.
Yeah, so, you know, it's going to be a nice place. It's very lush, and a lot of food grows there.
Well, I like
and
lush.
It's,
you know,
cheap, and it's easy to get into. You can get a 6-month visa for $240 a year. You can go there for free, you know, without a visa for 3 months. And then if you wanted to be a resident, all you have to do is have some letter that says you make more than $800 a month for the rest of your life, and have that written by your business, by your, if you're getting Social Security or a government check of some sort, have it written by them. And if you don't have that, then all you have to do is deposit $25,000 in bank somewhere in Ecuador, and you won't be able to touch it or use it, but you have to leave it in there,
mm-hmm.
or put it in land, one of the two, and that's called the investor's visa,
mm-hmm.
and then you'd be able to be a resident of Ecuador. So, and you have to And then you have to be there 9 months a year. You can travel for 3 months, but be there 9 months a year, and then you're a resident. And then after the first 2 years, you get your citizenship. And then you can get an Ecuadorian passport, which would be safer to travel the world with, but I don't know how much traveling we'll be doing in 2011 and 12.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, if we can get the people's consciousness together and get everybody to realize that we can change this world, we can take it right out of the hands of the Illuminati really. All we have to do is focus our intent and be strong within ourselves and claim our true essence.
I actually truly believe that is what's going to happen.
I believe
that. I truly believe that humans will come through.
Well, I can tell you, when I did that grid exercise today, I noticed that the bad guys were not expecting anything like what happened, and I wasn't the only one standing there. You know,
right.
Well, besides the fact that there were all the angels and archangels and the ascended masters and Jesus, and, you know, I mean, all of the great ones were there too.
Right.
Because there were many of us calling them in and saying, protect this.
Right.
And, you know, keep this, keep our energy with us.
Right.
Don't allow it to be taken. Don't allow it to be misused, because this is my energy. I refuse to allow it to be misused.
Right.
You know, they have no right to it. And so I saw that happening. I saw many, many people around the world doing the same thing.
Right.
I saw beings in other dimensions and in other galaxies. I mean, they were all with us. And so the ones that were trying to subvert this energy were quite surprised. And so that's just an indication of things to come. People are waking up. We are learning to stand together. And as I've said, as I went around the country the last 2 years with the quantum vortex stuff, you know, it's up to us. If you focus your intent and come from the heart, and you always work in the light of love, then nothing can stop you. And all this other stuff.
I've literally seen the angels act as special security units for certain people, too, when they needed it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that there's been times when certain energies have been directed toward me, and it literally couldn't actually even manifest because there were spirit beings that were sort of a special security unit.
Mm-hmm.
And that can happen for anybody. Anybody who feels like they're in danger, or anybody who feels like they need help, or anybody who feels like they need clarity or direction or assistance with what to do, all you have to do is ask, because the beings aren't allowed to interfere with free will.
Right.
They can only influence. They can do that. But if you want to actually ask for them to actually help, you have to give them permission to take action on your behalf. They cannot do it without your permission. So don't forget to ask. If you need help, you want protection for your family, you want more than just your own facilities protecting you, just ask. Now, the other thing is, too, really important, is not to just ask for yourself, but to ask for all of humanity, because this is a time that we need to become selfless, and it's not just about us and what we can get and the protection for just me and my family. It has to be a question that you ask. It has to be help that you ask for all of humanity. And the heart opens to the realization that it's all one self having all these lives.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a quest for humanity, not just for the safety of yourself. So I just wanted to throw that out there, too.
Yeah, thank you. That is so important. I keep trying to remind people to, you know, ask. You have to ask. And remember in the Bible, you know, Jesus said, ask and it is given.
Right.
And that, yeah, all is given to he who asks. You know, whoever asks, just ask for it. You know, and if you forget to ask, it's your own fault. You know, you
right.
got to ask. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I ask for help. Well, believe me, before that meditation today, I called in the big guns. And I was like, I'm not stupid enough to think that I need to stand there by myself. Oh, hell no.
Right.
I'm calling in all the big guns, too, and making them aware. Listen,
right.
this is going on. Stand with me. I will stand here. I will protect. I will do, you know, whatever has to be done for this to be protected. And it was amazing. It was truly amazing to see all these beings just standing up and laughing, you know, and saying, yeah, you know, we're here. And
they're
not
scared because they actually know we're all on the winning side, actually. I mean, basically, for the dark forces, the gig is up. They're giving it the old college try, but I think a lot of them even know it's up, and that's why many of them are actually switching sides now. Because some of them are starting to realize, ooh, geez, I'm not sure this is going to work out the way they think it's going to be. The best laid plans of mice and men come apart at the seams.
Yep. So, well, we'll see what happens next, but I want to keep an eye on this whole vaccination thing. And I am totally against vaccinations. Ever since Merck got their vaccination supply contaminated with simian 40 virus and let everything go out that way and cloned more supplies with that same virus, which causes very strange cancers in people. They knew it was infected, and they still sold it. And they still allowed it to go from that original batch. And that was just the beginning.
Right.
So, So we need to keep an eye on these kind of nefarious wrongdoings and stop them. Just stop them in their tracks. So anyway,
if everybody refused, then it couldn't happen.
Exactly. Everybody's got to stand up and say no. Just say no, you know. And, I mean, I'll be right there with you, you know. You just go, this is unacceptable.
And I really encourage everybody to do a search on the internet, and you'll actually find a lot of stuff in the laws. There's a lot of people who have posted about how to use the law to actually say no. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ways to do it. It's cheap. It doesn't cost anything. You just file a waiver, file a paper, file this or that. There's certain things that you can do that are very, very simple that will protect you as long as there isn't martial law. They're not ready for martial law yet. They're not ready for that yet. It's on the edge. We know it's definitely in the plan to happen. But what they do is they test the population first to see how they're going to react. And they're seeing a pretty strong reaction. So there's a reevaluation as to whether they should do the forced thing or not right now.
Yeah, so we got to stand up and tell them no.
Right, because they're in a reevaluation phase trying to decide, well, are we really actually ready for this fight yet? Because I don't think they have everything in place yet.
No, they don't. That's what they're panicking because they thought they'd have it all done by now. And they figure if they just got the voluntary fools. Yeah, if they just got the voluntary fools to go in and take the vaccine, they figure that'll kill off a good portion of the population because they'll pass it to the other people anyway.
Right.
So, you know, basically, that's why I wanted to have you on to talk about this too, so people understand they need to start getting prepared. And I found out what worked, and yeah, I was still sick for a couple of days, but nothing else was working. And so when I saw that as a physician, I went, you know what, I know what to take, and so I hardly ever get sick, because the minute I start to feel something, I take something that knocks it out. I do have antivirals that are natural, but even that stuff didn't knock it out, and I went, ooh, this has been made resistant, this is weaponized.
Right.
And it came on pretty quickly, too, so that's another hint. But
well, I'm glad you're all right.
I am fine. You know, I have a good protective team. And I actually, when I sat down to contemplate all this stuff, I got all kinds of information on it. And,
well, and now you're immune.
Uh-huh. Yes. Isn't that interesting?
Less he's in disguise.
Uh-huh. Yep, so it's quite interesting. Anyway, thank you so much.
The Illuminati is stuck with you.
That's right.
They're stuck with you on the planet.
Yep, and I'm staying until I decide I want to go, so they're really
right.
Stuck. Right. So, anyway, thank you so much for being on, Christine, and I wish you the best of luck with your move and everything and getting
you. Well, we'll be coming back and forth as long as that's possible. We'll be coming back and forth. Because,
well, I would love to go with you one of these times, and I can brush up on Spanish, so.
Oh, it's so fun. Spanish is a fun language. And,
it is. It's beautiful.
And we don't feel like abandoning the United States. We feel that the United States is precious and beautiful, and so are all the people in it.
Absolutely.
But, so we're going to be serving both purposes for quite a while, as long as it's possible.
Well, it has to happen to bring the eagle and the condor together. So
right.
That's what I'm really interested in, because I know that the Latin people, they have such heart, and they have this natural inclination for the spiritual that a lot of us here have ignored.
Right.
And so, you know, for them, it's
and
much
so
easier
sweet.
To grasp all this. They are. And it's so
yeah.
much easier for them to grasp it, you know, and they understand that there are other dimensions and other beings and things like that. So you don't have to fight their resistance, you know. They're like, okay, you know, I get it. Oh, yeah, you know, my grandma and my grandpa used to come all the time and talk to me and tell me what to do after they died, you know, that type of
right.
stuff. So, yeah, so that'd be fun. So anyway, okay, listeners, we have been talking with Christine Breeze. We could go on for another hour.
I know.
We have been talking with Christine Breeze, the founder and CEO of the University of Metaphysical Sciences, and it's umsonline.com.
Oh,
so,
it's .org.
Oh, .org.
umsonline.org.
So check that out. She has some amazing stuff that can really help you.
And we have a lot of free stuff, too.
So yeah, free is good.
Download all our free stuff.
Yep, my listeners like that, so do I, so that's great. And, yeah, keep us updated on what's going on with the traveling and all that kind of stuff, and we'll have you on again.
Lovely.
Yeah, thanks so much, Christine.
Thank you.
You bet. Okay, so until next week, first of all, let's thank our sponsor, Hydramay Skin Nutrition. That's HYDRAME.com. Check out their other products, too. And also, thank you, Christine, for being on and for broaching a difficult subject that could get all of us in trouble, but, you know, we are protected, so thank God for that. And listeners, thank you for tuning in. I love you guys. And until next week, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.
Awake.